Put your questions in now. We're 5 minutes out from starting the Friday Q&A. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope everyone is doing very well this morning. My name is Noah Wickham. I'm a brand director here at My Amazon Guy, here to answer all of your Friday questions. Excited to get rolling this week. We have quite a few questions lined up already. Thanks for putting those in. Again, every Friday, going to be here. If you want to come early, put some questions in, we'll get to yours first. So without further ado, let's get started and answer some questions here. Up first, this one I was reading beforehand, I thought was pretty interesting from Misha. Good morning. Good morning, Misha. Could you share step-by-step tutorial of perfect product launch? The more tips and strategies, the better. Maybe you have a secret recipe. Thanks a lot. First and foremost, Misha, I will let you know, if you look on our YouTube channel here and you search for Perfect Product Launch, we will have a video from Steven going step-by-step over everything. That being said, some other materials here, and I actually will share my screen real quick, going directly towards our website. Give me one second here, guys. There we go. We have this on our website as well. For everyone, go to myamazonguy.com to check it out. This is the Perfect Product Launch Pricing Strategy. So first and foremost, Misha, you should read through this entire thing. The point of a perfect product launch is to set yourself up for the best amount of sales success as quickly as possible. This perfect pricing product launch is one of the best ways to do that. The best way to do that is essentially on week one. You can see here, 50% below your target price. Your target price should be what you want to sell the product at on average. Doing this alongside the perfect PPC launch, which is doing competitor analysis, looking for all of the current products that you are trying to compete against in your market, launching your PPC strategy, and getting your product out there, as well as doing Vine reviews, depending on the product and category, of course, is going to be kind of your best way to get yourself set up for success. By the time you reach about the 2-month mark, which is when the honeymoon phase of Amazon starts to fall off, you should be at your target price. You should have a minimum of around 50 to 100 reviews on your product, and you should be able to have some very good sales traction and quality there. So hopefully that helps you, Misha. Again, we have lots and lots of tips here on the overall perfect product launch. The perfect product launch is taking all of the pricing strategies that we have here, such as the one I was just showing you. It is taking the perfect PPC strategy, which is doing competitive targeting on product pages alongside doing exact campaigns. And then on top of that, you want to do and get as many reviews in as possible. So hopefully that helps, Misha. Again, we have a lot of resources here at My Amazon Guy to go through exactly all of this, but happy to dive even further in detail if you have some specifics you're curious about. Moving on from that, we have Michelle. Good morning, Michelle. Other than PPC, what advertising tools and strategies are effective to improve ranking BSR? I launched a product 6 months ago that's completely dead, get zero sales, and the product has potential of 1K plus months per sale. Perfect listing detail page and pictures, and I have 3,000 units in inventory. What would you recommend to do? Can I bring this listing back to life, or should I relaunch it? And if so, how to relaunch the right way? Thanks so much. Yeah, so Michelle, going on a few different of your questions here, I'll start from the top. Different ways to advertise outside of PPC. We have a few. We have brand tailored promotions. That's going to be probably your most crucial one there. So what I would look at for brand tailored promotions is specifically cart abandoners. That'll be a really big one. This really depends on what you are currently doing. Typically, if you were doing that 1,000K and then you dropped all the way off, that tells me a few things. That tells me you probably have a lot more competitors in your market. That also tells me that more than likely there is something wrong with your product. Check your category. That's going to be the first and foremost thing as well. I see many, many people who go from doing great sales to zero sales because Amazon changed the category on. They had no idea. They didn't even know it happened. So check your category first and foremost. That's one of the pinnacle things in our reviving a dead product. Again, very similar to Misha, we have a lot of content on this, which I would very heavily advise you go through and watch and read. Reviving a dead product on Amazon is easier said than done at the end of the day. So what you're going to want to do, first and foremost, again, look at the different advertising avenues you have. But no matter how much PPC, promotions, brand tailored, or regular you do, it will not matter if your product is in the wrong category or is targeting the wrong thing. So always want to check those areas first and foremost, see where your issue lies. Secondly, do you have your featured offer on the product currently? Is the buy box there essentially? If you've lost your featured offer, that's going to essentially have you in a somewhat suppressed state and make it very, very difficult to get sales. If that is the case, I would probably advise you to either one, fix the problem first and foremost. I would always advise that. But two, you could look at relaunching the product there. Again, very similar to Misha, with a relaunch, follow the perfect product launch strategy that we have been laying out here. But more than that as well, one of your questions here was the specifically how to get through all the inventory. You can always have that relabeled if you do a product launch or a new product launch as well, or a new ASIN launch, I should say, on the product. So most of all, Michelle, what I would probably advise here with what you're kind of telling us and the information we have would be to, first and foremost, again, check your different advertising avenues. So check to see, one, is your PPC actually doing anything? If it's not, then you're targeting incorrectly. You need to run through, do a new search term report, figure out where you're supposed to be targeting. Two, check your category on your product. Verify that your product is in the correct category that it's supposed to be in. Again, there are many times where Amazon will change the category on us and we don't even notice it. Changing the category is going to have a really, really big effect on us. Three, check competitors in the market. You can do this. One of the easiest ways is going to your search query performance report, looking into your category, seeing how many new competitors and new sellers there are in that specific niche around you. More than likely, you'll find quite a few. Add all of those to your campaigns. You should be targeting them on your advertising strategy. So hopefully that helps, Michelle. Happy to dive in more if you have more questions on this. Awesome, awesome, guys. Two very interesting ones right off the bat this Friday. So very happy with that so far. Let's see here. We have Balmok. Hi, my CPA requests my Amazon revenue for the first quarter of 2024. What's the best place to check my quarter revenue? Will it be the same as the one on the 1099K? Thank you. All right. So for this, I'm going to look over here real quick to verify, but I believe where you need to go, Balmok, is you need to go to your payments report. So go over to your payments. From payments, you can have a few different things. I believe there is the annual statement. Amazon also just revealed the reports repository, which will give you essentially the older reports. But for specifically this month, you'll probably just want the statements report, which will tell you everything you have received as revenue from Amazon. Past that as well, just going to your payments dashboard will give you a good understanding. You can set the dates and times of how much you have spent on fees, how much you have spent on returns, how much you have gotten in sales, so on and so forth. So all of that will be listed under the payments and again, under the statements section. So check there first and foremost, and that'll be where you can get all the information for your CPA. Okay, and then let's go to Misha again. Fantastic, Misha. My ASIN is restricted from search due to adult flag. It's not an adult product. It's been 15 days since I filed a ticket with internal team. Any tips how to solve this issue? Should I open multiple cases? You can open multiple cases. It may or may not help you. So if you are flagged with an adult flag, there's usually a few reasons behind it. One, Amazon suspects that your product is adult. So the most likely cause of this is going to be your SEO. So what I would do is go through, check all of the copy that is currently on your listing and verify that there are no keywords that could be flagging as adult. So anything having to do with reproduction, anything having to do with, you know, even like menstruation, things like that can sometimes flag as adult. So go through, verify all of your keywords and copy on your listing and make sure that you don't have any keywords that could be flagging for that, first and foremost. Secondly, check your images. It's not rare, or I should say it is rare, but Amazon sometimes can flag these things due to images. Again, just make sure that you don't have anything in your images that could be flagging as adult. The more unlikely place, but it's something I have seen in the past, is check your reviews and specifically check your review photos. I have seen where listings get flagged as adult due to people who put a photo in the reviews of, you know, someone half naked. And now because that photo is on the review or on the product, then Amazon will flag it as adult. So those are places I would, one, first be checking all of to make sure you are actually going and doing what you're supposed to be doing. But secondly, on top of that, you can be submitting multiple cases on this. I would be hesitant to do that. One, just for making sure you don't mix your cases up. And two, Amazon's not a big fan of when you are, you know, pushing the same topic multiple times. So you can, but check all of those places first. You may find something there. Amazon will probably tell you what it is at the end of the day. Also, just get on the phone with Amazon. That's going to be something that's going to really help you in a situation like this where someone is physically looking at the listing and the product and the issue and will tell you why it is flagged. So get on the phone, look over your product, make sure you don't have anything in your copy, SEO, anything like that. Go from there. All right, James, here we go. Does Amazon start to suppress sales when I get low on stock? When I last restocked, the best-selling variation sales were great. As soon as I started to get below the recommended on-hand quantity, sales started to drop off. I was delayed in restock because my whole supplier factory got the flu. Would it have been better to close that variation? So to answer this question, no, not necessarily, James. At the end of the day, I don't believe Amazon has an official policy where they slow sales just because you are getting low on stock. Usually that comes down to you yourself are probably doing that, even unknowingly, where potentially you are pulling back on bids for any given reason, right? If it's you're pulling back on your PPC due to the low stock, you may be pulling back a little too much. Potentially. So typically, no, Amazon's not going to do that. From my knowledge, it could be happening without my knowledge, but Amazon is not going to be changing just because of low on hand stock. That being said, it would not surprise me just based on how they have been with low stock products as of recently. So not to my knowledge there. Let's see. Oh, also to answer that second part there, James, no, don't close the variation. That's never a good idea. You're just going to instantly lose your ranking and everything there. So, no reason really to have to be doing that. Second question from James, if I sold Stanley Cup accessories, for example, a wide variety of accessories, all compatible with Stanley, but all very unique, would you recommend one listing variations or multiple? Test it out, James. First and foremost, always test it. It depends. When you have accessories to a specific product, usually works best if you have that product first and foremost. But assuming in this case you don't have that product, you know, typically your accessories, if they are completely different, could end up in different categories, could end up having different markets, different utilities, such as if you have a smaller form of a cup holder for it, right? And then another one is a sticker. Those are two very, very different accessories. I wouldn't try and put those under the same variation. There's no point to it because they are, yes, both related to a product, but at the end of the day, they're going to have very different demographics looking for them, different categories, different everything. So I would probably not recommend it at the end of the day. If the different ones that you are doing are close enough in variation, you can do it, no issues whatsoever, and you will just get more reviews at the end of the day. So hope that helps. Okay. Give me a second here, guys. Gonna drink some water. Try and make sure I stay hydrated. I went and got a blood work done this morning, so gotta make sure I get all my fluids back in me. All right, David. Is the search volume displayed in Amazon search bar based on the data from the past 30 days or an entire year? It's past 30 days, David. So if you're looking at it, especially if you're looking at like Helium, for instance, yeah, it's the last 30 days. It gives you essentially how many people are searching for it in the last month. So gives you that search volume, lets you know exactly where it's at. Okay, Jordan Lee. When launching a new product, is it best to focus on 10 to 15 top keywords in exact match or a wide net approach and run exact, broad, phrase, and auto all at once from launch? I'm going to go with the second one there, Jordan, always. So the biggest thing when you are launching a product is, yes, you want to have pretty much every type of campaign. So you want to have, you know, an auto campaign that is gold mining or gold panning, sorry, getting you really good keywords. You want to have an exact campaign that is going after your specific category, your specific competitors. You want to have a broad campaign that is outreaching past your category and past your competitors as well. And then as well, a phrase campaign. So typically speaking, I would always recommend that over just doing exact campaigns. I've seen a lot of good things happening with exact campaigns where people only use them. In my opinion, if you know them, and that's the only one you really know how to utilize, stay with exact, but always learn the other ones. So I'm going to say second option there. Jordan Lee is going to be the best one. Okay. And we have Jeffrey Vallon. For supplements, I hear hot flash is a medical term that should not be used, but do see it used a lot on other listings. How best to verify if it is okay to include? So Amazon doesn't have a specific list that they make public of what is and what isn't a bad term in supplement industry. I have a very specific example of this. We have a client where I learned that the term floaters is actually a banned term as well, specifically relating to eye floaters. And they were saying it is a medical term that we are not allowed to use. It would not surprise me if hot flash is the same way as that. But the biggest thing to do at the end of the day, Jeffrey, is one, if other people are using it, it's semi-okay and semi-safe to be assuming that it's fine to do. But even in that instance, you may still get tagged. If you get tagged with it, just change the copy. It's the worst thing that happens. The thing that I would stay away from is specific medical terms where you are claiming, or medical claims, I should say, and make sure you are not doing any of those. So hope that helps, sir. All right. Hey, Noah. Hey, how's it going? I've noticed that for back-end terms, Amazon now allows multiple fields for back-end terms, like bullet points 1, 2, 3. The same is there for back-end. What's the best practice regarding this? Amazon's allowed multiple for a long time now. I mean, there are some listings that have up to like 10 bullet points and onwards of that. And same thing, the generic terms, things like that. They are rolling back on the changes they made a couple of months ago to the generic terms, so watch out for that. But, you know, priority there would be add as much as you can. When it comes to anywhere you can add search terms, keywords that you want to be indexing and ranking for and will help you grow in your category and on your product, absolutely add them. So if you have the ability to add more detail always. Especially when it comes to front end stuff where the end consumer will see. So make best use of it you can and go from there. Okay. Harris, how's it going? I used to get 100% referral fee discount on my product and suddenly Amazon removed it. How does Amazon determine when or when not to give this discount? I believe what you're talking about is Amazon not charging you a referral fee. So just as an FYI, Amazon does not charge a referral fee for personal selling accounts, but does for professional. Well, they do for personal. It's just higher tier, I should say. So for professional, what I would say there is I'm not positive if you're talking about something outside of having personal versus professional account. If you are, then what I would say is send a email to us at podcast@myamazonguy.com. I'll get back to you on some information after doing some research. But if you're talking about the different account types, then I would specifically say that you just are doing enough sales now where you don't get that. It's unfortunate at the end of the day, but it's also, I guess, a good thing that you are there. So that would be why it is down to how many sales you're typically doing there. Okay. Batman. Okay. We got Batman in the chat, apparently. I have launched my product in the tools category and achieved a new release badge. I have 4.1 ratings and 35 ACoS in auto campaigns. Okay. What strategies should I implement to grow sales from 20 a day to 100 a day? Oh, so this is kind of a broad question here, Batman. can't believe I'm talking to the Batman. But that being said, it's a broad question. The reason I say it's a broad question is there's a lot of different strategies you can implement. What I would probably always focus on, especially when you're where you're currently at, is indexing for as many keywords as possible. And what I mean by that is focus on getting your sales up, getting the current search terms that you want indexed on your product. You can check your indexing using Helium 10's tool for keyword indexing, and then add more search terms to be able to index on more. This is going to help you in a variety of ways, but the biggest one being is that you can go through and continue doing. But also get away from just doing auto campaigns. Auto campaigns can be nice at the end of the day. 35A costs, not so nice, but I guess that depends on what your profit margins are. Get away from your auto campaigns. Focus a little bit more. Earlier, we had Jordan Lee. He was asking about the two different types of campaigns. Throw some exact broad phrase in there and try and target specifically and do a competitor campaign. If you have competitors that, you know, are one, two rankings higher than you and taking some sales, start product page targeting them. Start top of search targeting. So that's kind of where I would start with that. It's, again, it's a very broad question. You have a lot that you can do when you're that low down. You know, you can change your product listing, do a main image hack. So add some text or add a little box to your main image to try and make it better. Change up, add a lifestyle image. You can, you know, add brand story, brand content, you know, so on and so forth. So there's a million things you can do. The biggest thing being, though, that you need to focus on indexing and ranking on keywords, and you need to up your advertising game. Auto campaigns can only get you so far. You need to learn how to actually advertise your product. Okay. Ollie, hey, an Amazon UK client is unable to change my permissions as it says that my email is connected to another seller account already. What do you recommend? So that sounds like typically you are overfilled. That can happen sometimes. So what you want to do is just create a new account. Sounds weird, but sometimes Amazon just locks accounts. We have obviously a lot of accounts here at My Amazon Guy for all of the clients that we work with. We have to create a new account every 25 or so, I would say, right? So that's probably the issue that you're facing here. The only other thing that you could be facing is if the account you are using is an admin user on a selling account. I have seen that be something where you can't be an admin user on other seller accounts. If you're the owner account, I should say, on a selling account, that could be your problem. So it's one of those two. Check into it. But easy solution, just make a new email. All right, David. In the context of a phrase match campaign, is it effective to include both general and specific phrases? For instance, if the main keyword is espresso machine, should the campaign also target specific variations like automatic espresso machine and espresso machine with grinder? Yeah, the grinder one, I would say, is a little bit more towards the broad side, right? That's the only thing I would say. But yes, you can with phrase. The thing at the end of the day that you should be doing when you are adding any new keywords, any new targeting to any of your phrase, broad, exact, doesn't matter what campaign, add it if it looks like one has search volume and two is relevant to the product. Relevancy will trump all at the end of the day. But look at that, add that in there, and then monitor over the next, I would typically say 3 days and then go from there. 3 days is usually about the time in which you see if a keyword is working or not. If it is working or it's not working, you make adjustments and see, okay, does it work now? The biggest thing when it comes to adding terms, again, is going to be relevancy. Both of those, based on espresso machine, are very relevant. So what you would want to do, again, is just make sure, are you actually spending money on it? Is it actually getting clicks? And on top of that, is it converting? Conversion is just your biggest factor with any search term. Whether or not, you know, something seems relevant, guess what? That comes down to the end consumer. You can have a search term, technically speaking, that is completely irrelevant to a product. But if, you know, you do well enough with it, it then becomes relevant. So that's what ranking is, right? So yeah, it's totally fine to do, David, when it comes to a phrase campaign, especially. Go after it, get it, and test back, and come back next week and let us know how it's going. Okay, we have Harris again. Harris is all over the place. These questions say, I love it. I got an email from Amazon. My account's primary contact verification, which is me, and they needed my bank statement and utility bill. The problem is I live in Canada and now as a student, and when I started Amazon, I made it in my home country, South Asia, where accounts are getting banned too much these days. So do you prefer me to move all my contact details to a Canadian business? And I think there's another part of this. I think Amazon is giving me a hard time getting verified. Got it. Okay. So one, yes, you can move them all to a Canadian business. It's going to be a little bit of a process. But that being said, part of the reason that Amazon is banning a lot of them is because they are fraudulent sellers and they are just copycats. That is why they are getting banned. If you are not a fraudulent seller, you are not a copycat seller of any kind, you shouldn't have to worry about it. That's the truth of the matter. You can set it up as is. So what I would do first and foremost, before anything, make sure all of your details that they're asking for are correct, submit them, and you should be fine. As long as you are not breaking the Amazon terms of service, there you shouldn't have to worry about your account getting banned for some reason. Does Amazon ban people when they just assume they've broken it before? Yes. But re-verifications on Amazon are a very, very common thing. It happens nearly daily for tons of people. So that being said, submit all the documentation as long as it matches what it's supposed to match. After you've gone through the re-verification process, that's when I would suggest that if you have the ability to change all of that, what you'll want to do is submit a case to Amazon, say, hey, I moved to Canada. I am going to be submitting new documentation for my business, for all of the things here, my home address, utility, all of that. And then they'll say, cool, thanks for letting us know. And then you can change it. So that's what I would probably do in this situation, Harris. Okay. Jordan Lee's back again. My niche has a lot of CNY sellers with low prices. Best tips for standing out as a premium product with a higher price? There's a lot of different ways to stand out as a premium product with a higher price. The biggest one is you need to be premium. The point of having a higher price tag is to show your premium, right? But it depends very much on what your exact product is, right? So some good examples, and I'll actually, for this one, let me pull up some examples here to kind of show you what exactly you should be doing. So if I just do, and everyone should know at this point, my favorite example to use is always going to be balloons. Why do I love balloons? Because I think it's just a really good one to use. So here we go. I just did premium balloons, high quality. You can see some very common details here as to what it is they're doing stand out. So gold is a very common thing when you are talking about premium product. For some reason, gold is something that people always are going to view as being premium. The imagery is another thing. To be honest, I'm actually a little surprised they're getting away with, you know, this as a whole on the main image. But again, you'll see gold here for premium. Again, gold for premium. The point here being to stand out as a premium product with a higher price tag, you need to have certain reason for being premium. The reason I show the balloons all the time and the gold is because it's a very common thing showing premium products. So different ways you can stand out as premium, have a differentiator for the product specifically. So if you are a, let's say you are a product that is gold or has gold on it, boom, there's your differentiator. If you're look at exactly what it is your competitors who are much lower priced are doing and do the opposite. You need to have something that to actually stand out for to say that you are premium is the biggest thing. So make sure it's in your main image. Make sure it's in your title. What is your premium identifier? Whether it's you're a gold balloon, whether it's you are a 100% silk shirt, right? Make sure that is known as blatantly as possible to the end consumer. So put in your main image, put in your title, put in your bullet points, you want to stand out. You want to be seen as, hey, we are premium because of X reason. So hope that helps, Jordan Lee.
Oh, we are kind of plowing through questions today, guys. Give me 1 second here. Get some more water again. Honestly, thinking again, still, I feel like music might be good for these. Let's see. Andrew, how's it going? We've been using emojis in our product titles to make them more eye-popping. We didn't think they'd be approved, but they are. My question is this against Amazon policy? Will it catch up to me? Technically, no. Depends on the category. You can use emojis in some categories. Do I recommend it? No. There's not a huge point to it. The reasoning, because one, emojis at this point in time are different on most all platforms still. Whether you're on desktop, whether you're on iPhone, Samsung, whatever. So there's that. It's going to look different, just each different tablet you have or whatever someone is purchasing on. But two, it doesn't actually add anything. No one's searching for emojis in search terms at the end of the day. And if they are, it's not something you're probably going to hit on all that often. It doesn't add a whole ton. There are some categories where I think it's fine. You know, if you have a child's toy, sure, go for it. But by and large, it's not super useful, not super productive towards the listing. So technically not restricted in some categories. You're probably in one of those categories, but you know, I would see which ones. The title actually is the part that's kind of interesting to me, because that usually, even in those categories, is restricted. So you know, that can always catch up to you. Either way, I would probably just take them out, just because, again, not super useful for you. Diana, hello. Is it worth it to add a description in a listing when you have A+ content in terms of SEO? Yes. Answer is yes there. You should always be adding a description, even if you have A+ content. That description is still read. That description is still, at the very least, back-end search terms. If your A+ content for some reason ever gets taken down, guess what? You have to have a description there, right, to fill it. So yes, and it will absolutely still index and help you rank. Oh, David's back again. David's all about the phrase today. In the context of a phrase match campaign, is it effective to include? Oh, did we already go over this one, David? You send it twice? I think so. Yes. Yeah, we already talked about this one. Cool. Harris Khan, I have professional account. Oh, this is towards your earlier question, Harris. Yeah. So again, Harris, that's probably going to be related to what I was saying before. When it comes to if you have professional, that's going to be Amazon's choice. So that depends on your category and product entirely and your sales velocity. So do I have a way for you to get, you know, no referral fees anymore? Unfortunately, no. Not to my knowledge, but you know, you can always shoot your ASIN over at podcast@myamazonguy.com. I'll take a look, see what I can find out for you. Okay, Rosina. Launching supplement, have 4.6 Vine ratings for over 100 reviews. What is the best thing to do? The next is best first thing to do: influencer emails, PPC, Meta, Google Ads. So you have Vine already, over 100 reviews. Focus on your advertising, focus on your listing, improving it. Do A/B testing, all of the above. You mentioned here emails, you mentioned influencer, Google Ads, all of the above. Any form of advertising you can do that shows a net positive. Focus on your PPC first and foremost. PPC is always going to come above everything else on Amazon. Why? Because yes, does Amazon like having outside influencers and everything pushing to Amazon? Of course. But you want to know what they like even more? They like it when you pay them for advertising. And that is always going to be first and foremost for them. So focus on your PPC first and foremost there. And then from that aspect, start looking at different angles. So make sure your PPC is up to snuff. Get to your ideal ACOS and then start to try and expand into influencers. You can do things such as creator connections. That's something that's also on Amazon and would be a really good one to do. We've had a lot of success with creator connections. From there, email marketing, I'm up in the air on it when it comes to products on Amazon, but go for it if you want to. Google ads, absolutely. I think those are always great as well. So hope that helps. Ollie, again, does Mag share Amazon accounts between employees, or does everyone have their own Amazon accounts? If you're talking, Ollie, specifically how we manage clients, so we push one account again per around 50 clients. We do have those accounts, technically shared, but what happens is you want to have that be a secondary user. Amazon only has issues if a owner account, admin account, are shared between different people who have other Amazon seller accounts. They've also gotten a little bit more lax about this, but that being said, when it comes to secondary user accounts, there's no issue sharing. So yeah, any that we log into, yes, at the end of the day, we push out, 50-ish accounts per one secondary user account, and it's logged into by whoever needs it, right? So no issues as far as terms of service with that at all. That is completely within side of it. You will run into issues when it's admin accounts, owner accounts. Those are one person each. Hope that helps. Let's see. This is my YouTube name. Nice. Hey, I have five similar items with the same keywords. Items are just a little bit different. A little dyslexic day, I guess. Items are just a little bit different the way they look, but function is the same. Can I put them all in the same PPC campaign? Yeah, of course. You can always put items in the same PPC campaign. There are specific campaigns that are meant for that. That's just your targeting at the end of the day, right? So that's just what are you trying to do with the campaign? You can create campaigns for individual items. You can create campaigns for items that are similar. We sometimes create campaigns that have every single item in a catalog, no matter how different it is. That's completely valid at the end of the day. So no issues there. Rosina, again, filling back-end search terms, which is better? How best to fill back-end search terms for variation listings, duplicate search terms in all listings, or fill in separate sets to take max benefit? I'm not totally positive on the question here, Rosina. Fill back-end search terms, which is better? How best to fill search terms in all listings, or fill separate sets to take max benefit? If you're asking specifically if you should have different search terms for every single one of your variations, yeah. Can they be somewhat similar? Absolutely. You know, you're more than likely, if you have a variation that's blue and a variation that's black, your search terms and your, listing is going to have probably fairly similar SEO and search terms. It doesn't matter if it's a variation. You still want to have the product itself, the ASIN, have the best search terms possible. So whether or not you switch out in those search terms, blue versus black, then you will, have that as your differentiator by the end of the day. But assume the variation is a standalone ASIN at all times when you're doing anything like SEO. Again, Rosina, for home products, sending repeat shipment to FBA, if I am only improving the packaging from pet zip bag to printed paper box, product is exactly the same. Will Amazon force us to create new ASIN? Technically, no. You can change packaging. You may run into issues when Amazon says, hey, this is not the same product anymore. You just have to show them that, hey, it is this same UPC, same everything. It's a bit of a pain in the butt when it comes down to it, if they do flag you for it, but no issues at the end of the day. I would just, make sure that when you do it, if you do get flagged, you have the UPC. If you are changing UPC, then yes, you have to do an entirely new ASIN. It's a real pain in the butt if you don't do that, to be honest. So hope that helps. Oh, John Aspinall. Oh, hello, sir. Always happy to have you here, sir. All right. Let's actually take a breather there for a second with Mr. John Aspinall saying that. Just so everyone is aware here, for those of us who are joining us for the first time, we are My Amazon Guy. We are a full-service Amazon marketing agency. You can find us at myamazonguy.com. You can also look us up on YouTube, LinkedIn, one of the places you're probably currently looking. My name is Noah Wickham. I'm a brand director here We do full service for all of our clients. We do Amazon PPC marketing. This includes design work as well. So if you are looking for an agency to help you grow your products, look no further because we can help you out. We are also first and foremost an education company, which is why we do these Friday Q&As to help everyone we can learn as much as possible. And with that, let's jump back in. We don't have a ton of questions left today. So, you know, if you have questions, throw them in there. I want to make sure to answer everything we can today. David, again, in my phrase match campaign, I know a significant spend, $3K, on search term variations related to my targeted keywords, resulting in zero sales with 1 to 30 clicks each. Impressions are okay. My listing are good. These terms are relevant, but not converting. Since the primary keywords drive substantial traffic, 10K a month, negating them isn't an option. How can I optimize my campaigns to reduce this ineffective spend without impacting the performance of my main keywords? So, just so I'm getting this right here, David, essentially it sounds like you are spending significant spend on your search terms related to targeted keywords, resulting in zero sales, 1 to 30 clicks. Yeah, so just because something's getting clicks, David, doesn't mean it's necessarily super relevant. If it is relevant and you're getting 1 to 30 clicks, that's a conversion issue. The first place to always look when you have a conversion issue is your product listing. What is the issue with the listing? And the number one thing that affects conversion most of all is price. Are you too highly priced compared to your competitors? What I would also check is, are you currently doing a self-targeting campaign? So the reason I ask that is because if you have all of the product page ads currently taken up by competitors, you might be losing out there, right? So check your price first and foremost. Are you competitive in the market? From there as well, check your product listing. Do you have a good product listing? Is there good advertisements, or not advertisements, pictures, images? Do you need to update your main image to make it more apparent as to the product? Do you need to update your bullets? So on and so forth. To talk specifically on the actual keywords here that you're kind of talking about, where negating them isn't an option, what I would probably do as well is, if something is not converting, then that is not a product, or that is not a keyword that I would focus on. Downbid as much as possible. So push your bids down. If you have a certain area where your conversion is higher, so whether it be top of search, product pages, in your placement, what you can do is put your bids super, super low, and then do, let's say, your top of search, 400%+ in your placement. What this will do is only put you in the area that you want to, whether that's rest of search, top of search, or product pages. So check those first and foremost. If you really can't negate them, then I would really just heavily focus again on trying to make them convert more than anything. But again, a keyword that gets clicks, it's not necessarily a good keyword. The keywords that are the best keywords are always going to be the ones that actually convert. So hope that helps. This is my YouTube name. Thank you. Yeah, no problem. Happy to help. Happy to help. Let's go to Ollie. What was your Amazon experience before joining MAG? Oh, it's kind of an interesting one, Ollie. Yeah, so I have been working with Amazon probably close to 10 years at this point in time. I actually, funny enough, started and way back in the day on eBay, as many people do, transferred to Amazon with some brands of my own. And then past that point as well, I worked doing essentially consulting, what I'm doing kind of now with you guys, doing Q&As. And just live stuff. I've worked for other agencies as well before my Amazon guy. And yeah, so I mean, I've been around the block with Amazon for a long time. I have been through the hurdles, the ups and downs of it, everything in between. Amazon is a bit of a beast, as we all know. But I think at this point, I've somewhat been able to tame the beast. So I've been at my Amazon guy for you guys reference for about half a year at this point in time. Love it here. It is fantastic. And I will be continuing to do these Friday live Q&As with you guys. James, With the MAG launch pricing, where do reviews come into play? Should I get at least one review before following the system, or just start it and simultaneously work on flat file reviews? FF reviews? Flat file? I'm not sure what FF is, but typically you want to do reviews a few ways. One, Vine program, right? So you should try Vine program if you can. It's good for some things, bad for others, depends on your category, everything like that, right? But do the Vine program if you can. If it makes sense for your product, don't do anything if it's consumable. It will be very bad on Vine. So there you go. Do Vine program. Past that, get a review software. Helium 10 has a review software. We use another one internally in MAG as well. That's going to really help you a ton. You can also do things such as do just free product giveaways. That's an old one. I don't usually recommend it just because it's a little bit harder to do nowadays without it being seen as a big no-no. So that being said, Vine is your number one review, but get a review software as early on as you can. Request reviews from all of your sales, every single one, and hopefully you get good ones and you get a lot of them. Okay. This is my YouTube name. We are making products ourselves from Italian and American leather. Should I put that in the title first or focus on keywords first? Those are keywords. So you should absolutely Italian leather or Italian and American leather. I would almost guarantee to you those are pretty relevant keywords. If I were to, let me actually do this for you. Let me log in just real quick to a Helium account, and I will pull this up for you to give you a little bit of an idea of what I'm talking about. So if I am doing this on Amazon and I'm looking at Helium at the same time, Italian leather is currently sitting at around 500,000 monthly searches. So the point, I wasn't sharing my screen, but that's okay. You get my point. So the point is, those are keywords. The biggest thing when you are adding anything to your title is make sure it's a relevant keyword. Make sure it makes sense for your product. If your product has Italian and American leather in the name or in its manufacturing process, I should say, verify and make sure that you have some search volume for them, which I just clearly showed there was. And then from there, add it. So add what is on there and go from there. Okay. James, friends, family. Friends, family for your question of FF reviews. You can do friends and family reviews, James. That's not really that big of a deal at the end of the day. And the big thing I would kind of stay away from there is that it can be coming back to you. Amazon may try and tie it back, just as long as there's no way to tie it back, that's going to be best. But your next thing, can you go more in depth on why not to use Vine if it's consumable? It is. Okay. So this is the do's and don'ts of Vine. So when to and when not to use Vine, this is going to be the kind of ultimate guide there. If your product is a consumable, Vine is most likely not going to be a good fit for it. The reason Vine is not going to be a good fit for consumable is that every single person has a different palate. So for instance, if you are someone who does not like spicy food, but someone else likes spicy food, guess what? Both of you are on the Vine program. There is a hot Cheeto that comes out onto the Vine program. If you get it, you're going to rate it 5 stars. The person who really does not like spicy food, though, is going to rate it 1 star and say that it's bad because it's so spicy. So that is the kind of primary way to look at consumables on the Vine program. Same thing goes for supplements. People on the Vine program have a time deadline to actually submit the review. I have seen many a times where somebody has a supplement, they send it through Vine, someone gets it, they take it and said, it's been 4 hours, I don't feel anything or any different yet. Of course not, it's a supplement, it takes time to work. So that is one of the things that I would just be very cautious when it comes to consumables. There are other areas, so supplements, consumables, those are ones that I would stay away from. Things that work really well on vinyl. I have seen that electronics typically work really well as long as they're not too complicated and they come with an instruction manual. Anything that needs to be built, usually not a great idea either. People are pretty lazy. They will not read the instructions. They will not build it correctly. It will break. You will get a bad review. So Vine has its pros. Vine has its cons. The best way to look at it is that the people on Vine, you need to look at them like you would any random person on the street. They're going to give you a first assessment just within the first 5 minutes of use of your product. If it is something that has any form of longevity, you may have some bad times with it. So hopefully that helps. And that is kind of your go-to when it comes to Vine.
Let's see. Harris.
I made a new Amazon account for my mother with the same address on my account. In the future, does it result in problems like if one account is under same restriction, would it also put an impact on the other account? So,
yes, technically.
Amazon's changed their policy on this a few times. I need to refresh myself on what the exact policy is, which if you shoot an email to podcast@myamazonguy.com, I can answer that. But from my current knowledge, the most recent policy change is that you are allowed to have multiple Amazon selling accounts within the same household. In the past, you were not. The issue is that Amazon essentially says that, no, you cannot have more than one selling account. And I believe that is still going to hold true here without you specifically telling Amazon. So I would worry slightly about that. If it's just the same address, you can usually get away with that. There are plenty of addresses that are at the same exact business at the end of the day. Not really the hugest issue. Will it have an impact on the account? It can if Amazon reaches out and says that the accounts are linked and you have to prove that they're not linked and that they're not the same. So the biggest thing there and the biggest way to get away from that, don't sell the same product on the account. That's the one thing Amazon really just doesn't want you to do. Just don't sell the same product. Nowadays, with Amazon allowing people to have multiple accounts, usually it's not a big deal, but just don't sell the same product and you'll be fine. Leo. Good morning. Hello. What software do you use for inventory / shipment management? We don't actually use a software for that. We do technically have one software. We use Merchant Spring in-house for all of that. But a lot of what we do, we manage it direct from Amazon's own shipping and, you know, inventory platform. Merchant Spring does help out quite a bit. You can look in the back end, see where things are currently at. But for the most part, all Amazon, all internal. They have some great stuff when it comes to it. You can see where everything's at and get a good idea. Not all that hard. James. Sorry, I know how to get reviews. What I mean is, when should I start the product launch pricing? Do I start with zero reviews or wait until I have a few before I discount the price like Maxis? Do it right away. You should launch your product again with 50% at 50% of the price that you want it to be at. It will help you get reviews. In fact, the reasoning for that is that you're much more likely to sell your product at 50% of its normal price, what you're going to be selling it at, I should say, than you are at what you plan on selling it at. So absolutely zero reviews. Launch at that 50%. Let's see, David back again. So my phrase match campaign generating $10,000 a month, 50% of my sales come from unique low impression search terms that received only one click each. These terms are closely related to my targeted keywords and products. How can I capitalize on these unique low impression search terms to improve my campaign's overall efficiency and effectiveness? Break out those keywords. That's first and foremost. If you have keywords that are kind of your hero keywords in a campaign, break them out into their own campaign. It may seem counterintuitive in some ways, but and what I mean by that is actually keep it in its current campaign it's running in very well and take everything else and put it into a new campaign. The reason for this is that it allows you to segment where your current campaigns are, what is doing well, what isn't, and you can focus your full budget on the keywords that do well, your hero keywords, so to speak, in that campaign. And then you can start playing around with different search terms, different negations, and whatnot between the ones that are currently getting all those clicks, impressions, the ones that aren't, right? So your big area of focus here will be to start breaking out campaigns into the same exact campaign, but essentially taking your other keywords, putting them in their own campaign. You want to give enough room, leg room for all of your keywords to run effectively and focus on them specifically. So you want to have them in their own campaigns. Hope that helps. Let's see here. Harris back again. I'm learning how to do product hunting because I've never launched anything from market as I sell products made by my dad and made multiple six figures. Nice. So do you prefer Helium 10 or Jungle Scout to hunt a good product? Do you have any recommendations what and what not to do? Both are good in their own ways. At the end of the day, personally, I think it's personal preference more than anything when it comes to product research. We don't do a ton of product research. One thing you could do, this is something we do here at MAG, is go to your product opportunity explorer. Look what's there. Amazon wants you to sell more product. They want more product on their platform. You can look at your marketplace explorer as well. Look and see what they want in other marketplaces. Look and see what products they want on the product opportunity. From there, start looking at, yes, Helium. Look at Jungle Scout. They'll have slightly varying things. So it really depends on what your personal preference in software is there. I've found in the past that Jungle Scout's probably a little bit better when it comes to the product research side, just because they focus a little bit more on that, whereas Helium's much better at the data side and having accurate numbers. So the biggest thing at the end of the day, focus heavily on where Amazon is telling you to go and where they want new products in, because that's going to help you a ton on the product opportunity. And then on top of that, do what works best as far as the software. No real tips on what not to do or what to do, but again, look in the categories. Don't, I will say this, what not to do. Do not get a product that you see has a ton of sellers on it and all of them are doing, you know, or a couple of them are doing 20,000 sales a month on their products and then just try and copy them. That's a bad idea. That is a very, very easy way to not do well in a certain product category. So hopefully that helps, Harris. David, can you talk about the new coupon policy? How should we adjust our price to be able to participate in offering coupons in the future? The new coupon policy. This might be news to me, David, now that you're kind of bringing up. I'm not positive on this. I'm looking, not seeing anything in the news. Let's see. Yeah, I'm not seeing anything about this, David. Is there a specific news article that you saw on your Seller Central or something? If you can kind of point me towards it. But no, unfortunately, I'm not totally aware of what coupon policy you're talking about. If you're talking specifically about their policy around the different Prime offerings you can do during certain times, then that one, yeah, I guess it makes sense at the end of the day, but there's a million different ways you can kind of get around it, offer different promotions, offer different PEDs, things like that, but not really all that worried about it. Okay. Let's see, this is my YouTube name. Thank you. And one more question. It's a picture question. Why the hell pictures become so blurry on Amazon? We tried so many different ways, especially on premium. Okay, so this is a really, really frustrating thing that many people come into. And the reasoning behind it is that Amazon will purposely make their images very small. The reason they do that is because you have to imagine there's hundreds of thousands of products and images on their site. they need to be able to have the space for them. So the biggest thing to do in this situation is make sure your picture is as high res as possible when you are uploading it. Also, make sure to always be doing a PNG to Amazon when you can. That's always going to help you the most. The biggest issue is that Amazon's just going to continue making the images, you know, slightly less than they are. You also want to make sure that your image is as close as possible to the exact dimensions that Amazon wants, because if it's not, you're going to have some issues. Let's see here. Let's go for small pictures. Oh, plus small pictures. When we have our items next to each other, clients click add cart, forgot the name. Oh, okay. So you're talking specifically about, and let me see if I can pull this up on one of these. Here we go. Let's do the leather again, and then I'll just open this real quick so everyone can see what we're talking about. So you're talking specifically about this. Where we have essentially all of these pictures. Yeah, so these are called swatches, if this is what you're talking about up here, of the actual insert. Swatches are always going to be kind of blurry. The best way to do the swatches is to specifically have the swatch size. Make sure it's exact size that it needs to be. A big thing as well, if you do like color, I would always go here for any swatch size. David is also saying, scroll down to sale price discount error. Where exactly, David? What are we looking for here? Well, while we wait for David, I'll answer another question from Harris. I am just 21 years old and have no co-op for my bachelor degree this summer and is a must requirement. Can I do my internship at MAG? Yeah, so this is a great opportunity as we are, it looks like we are kind of wrapping up here a little bit. We don't have that many questions left. So I will take this moment to kind of explain a little bit on this for you, Harris. So Harris, we have on our site here, let me pull this up. We have a careers tab. Under our careers tab here at My Amazon Guy, we offer paid internships. If you're interested in learning as much as possible when it comes to Amazon, go to myamazonguy.com/internships. We will teach you everything A to Z to know about Amazon from the start. It is entirely paid. So please go apply. We are constantly needing new interns. I will be graciously one of the people who gets to teach you if you end up coming and working here at My Amazon Guy. So the internship will start you as a brand manager intern. And from there, you'll move your way up to fully having your own client accounts as well. So if it's something you're interested in, again, go to myamazonguy.com/internships. It's a great place to learn. If you want to do it for a short time as well, that's totally fine as well. So let's see here. It's my YouTube name. Thank you and have an awesome weekend. Yeah, you as well. Happy to have you on the show. Hope and see you next week as well. We got one more question here and then I think we're going to wrap here shortly unless any more come through. Jacob, what is the pros cons of doing 4:3 format for main images? I'm not entirely positive there is a pros con there. I mean, it's kind of just like a pro, which is you are abiding by what Amazon wants, right? The biggest one being is that mobile formatting works best with 4:3. So all it's going to be best for mobile formatting just because at the end of the day, majority of the people, I believe it's like around 70% of people now purchase using mobile. You can actually check that for your specific product as well in your SQP. So pro con of it, the pro being that you're following exact policy and what Amazon recommends. The con of it being that you have to develop an image in 4:3, I suppose. At the end of the day, that's kind of all there is to it, Jacob. There's not any secret sauce to it. It's what Amazon recommends. It's what looks best as well. That's what I would just do. So, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is all the questions this week, it seems. Let's kind of wrap there, I think. I think we went for about an hour or so. Let's call it there. Oh, well, we have one more. I'm gonna answer this last one, then I think we're going to call a show for the week, this guys. David Fulmer, the SAS program has refinements that help search. Can you request refinements without having the SAS program? Yes. If you're talking specifically, David, about like SQP, anything like that, yeah, you can absolutely look through all of those. The refinements, yes, they can help, but the SAS program, it's not necessarily needed to search through marketplace, market basket analysis or anything like that. So yeah, you can look through all that kind of stuff without the SAS. So there we go. Last question. It was a good one on SAS. And real quick, everyone, we are My Amazon Guy. We are a full service Amazon marketing agency. We do everything from listing design, product launch, PPC advertising, and provide as much strategy as possible to the brands that we work with. We also, at all times, are offering coaching. If you ever want to get a one-on-one session with me outside of these Q&As, come to our coaching page. Book a call with me. We also have many careers. If you are looking for a new career in the Amazon space, feel free to reach out to us. Apply, as you know, some of you heard earlier. We are offering internships, paid internships, where you can learn everything you want about Amazon. So if you're looking for a career, My Amazon Guy might be the next one. But that being said, my name is Noah Wickham again. I am a brand director here at My Amazon Guy. I will be here every single Friday at 12 Eastern live to answer all of your Amazon questions moving forward. And I hope everyone has a great weekend. And I look forward to seeing everyone next week.